Back on Bears Huddle, time to get our weekly Wednesday, a view from the moon from our CSNChicago.com Bears insider, John Moonmouth. We're just happy to get him back today because, boy, you pushed the envelope and how long you were staying in San Diego. I see the tan. I see that. You stayed pretty late yesterday, didn't you?
Well, we knew no chance to talk to John Fox yesterday, so let me see. I could come back and be back here at noon, or I could leave at noon. Let me think about this. Maybe I'll have breakfast on the marina. Let me get back to you on that.
By the dock of the bay. Yes. You had an interesting piece on CSNChicago.com, but at least one player, and maybe this is a bit of a theme, calling Monday's win a starting point for a playoff run. But you know what? If you're in that locker room and in this climate with, I think, this coaching staff, what they're trying to establish, you have to think that way, right?
Well, you do, and if you don't think that way, then you shouldn't be playing, probably. There's Tracy Porter, and I forget who else I talked to, and you've heard Kyle Long even mention it. You know, they're 2-5. We can go 11-5. Now, we can all scoff at that, but if you don't think that way, I guarantee you there's guys in this locker room, they are dying to get a hold of the Packers again.
Oh, yeah?
Which sounds, they think they can beat these guys.
Don't worry about it. They'll get their chance.
Exactly. But, you know, to me, what they've shown, they're kind of bringing this character, you know, they talk about being fighters. Everybody talks about doing that. But, you know, over the Kansas City and Oakland wins, coming back late, they said, we are finishers. We're going to learn to finish. And they had the Minnesota and the Detroit games, let them get away. This game, they continued on that. They're not blowing people out, but they feel like if we stick around, we're going to win some games. And that's the way you start building, you know, you start stacking wins.
But you know, you're constantly asked, we talk about the progress. I said, where do you see the progress? How can I measure the progress that this team is making?
Well, don't you think we look at Jeremy Langford, you know, a team, and Chris, you had pointed out that they've gone five games without rushing for 100 yards. With all the makeshift offensive line, Matt Forte is out, and they still, off the bench comes rookie Jeremy Langford for 72 yards, and little use Kadeem Carey picks up another 28. So the two of them combined for 100 yards, 4 yards a carry.
Then you get a little Mark Houston with a couple of sacks to close out the game to finish it off.
Guys, they're coming. You know, one of the things you hear in championship teams, like in baseball or any sport, every day it was somebody different making a play. And that's what you start to see. And that, to me, is what the progress, Danny, is they're not relying on just Pernell McPhee. I think we might have even talked in the pregame.
Yeah, we did.
Somebody besides Pernell McPhee has to rush the passer. That's what happened. So this game, Tracy Porter, Lamar Houston made plays in the fourth quarter. It wasn't the same old. It was Jeremy Langford. It was Kadeem Carey. And that's the kind of stuff it makes me very interested to see how this team keeps going.
And Zach Miller, too. He stepped up and made a play.
How about Amos, too?
I read about that one in the
past. How about Amos at safety?
Yeah, and actually, let's get
a linebacker.
Yeah,
a lot of guys stepping up.
I think Jonathan had 11 or 12 tackles for a guy, and who just here's the receiver helmet with the intercom for the coaches. You're the call and the signal.
I know you're undrafted. I know you're a youngster here, or a rookie, or whatever.
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Why don't you try this on just for size?
And it worked.
You are, as we hit the halfway point of the season, on the Bears page on CSNChicago.com, you're going through your evaluation, your grades, the mid point of the season, each position group since Wednesday is usually a defensive day. Let's go through those three phases. How about the defensive line? I think you gave them a C+. Your general impression so far, and it's, you know, all the hands they hoped they were going to have on deck certainly aren't there at the halfway point.
You know, it's hard sometimes because you're almost grading on a curve, but, you know, you'll see guys, I think they've gotten so much out of Jarvis Jenkins. There's a guy, you almost give it, you know, a minus for what he's been in this scheme. Losing Jeremiah Ratliff, let's go back to Ray McDonald, this defensive line, and Ego Ferguson. They said this is not the team that they thought they'd be fielding. Again, it's hard when you're 3-5. It's hard to give out a lot of high grades, but you know, I think they have just gotten progressively better. I don't think there's too many. I'm trying to think statistics. How many teams have actually run over them? You know, we talk about that they're not getting enough sacks. Agreed. Mm-hmm. But you see someone like Eddie Goldman right there. I think Eddie Goldman is looking like a winner as a draft choice.
And how often did we see teams run past them and through them the last couple of seasons too?
There's something, talk about progress, Danny. I think that this sort of thing has been happening. You don't want to get, you're 3-5. You can't get too excited, but it could be a whole, we saw it get a whole lot worse.
It's a different, 3-5 than sounds like. Mm-hmm. And I think because you analyze the losses as well, I know I'm the first one to say some of the wins could have been losses just as easily.
Well,
but, you know, when you look at that and you break it all down and look behind the numbers a little bit, I think you have a reason then to feel, you know, that, yeah, this thing is improving and getting better. And we'll find out down the stretch, they can start stacking them. Things could get fairly interesting.
How about now to the linebacker group? I think Purnell and McPhee has gone above and beyond the anticipation level from what we thought of him. Obviously, you put your trust in Ryan Pace and getting him right off the bat in free agency. Well, he's lived up to it, but outside of him, there's been a ton of question marks in that group. Who's going to fit on the inside? Who's going to play that other spot on the outside? There was also already, you know, two trades involving this position. You gave them a C also.
Yeah, again, it's an average group. I mean, Purnell McPhee could be headed for the Pro Bowl the way he's going, and I think is probably one of the finest free agency pickups. I really found this, the signing by Ryan Pace. This is a guy who's a backup. You know, finding the guy who's on the bench behind two really good players, and that we can, you know, he's sitting behind Elvis Dumervil and Terrell Suggs. But other than that, we haven't seen Sam Acho give the outside rush you thought. Lamar Houston before this past game was, what, four snaps or seven snaps the game before that. Shea McClellan's been hurt, and Christian Jones, okay, but they have not made as many of the impact plays.
But I think what it points up to, though, is now understanding that some of these guys, a lot of them we're talking about, weren't expected to play this year to the extent that they are. But when you see the competition level and what it is, I think that that's something that when you look back, you know, in previous years, we've had guys who just thought, you know, their positions were pretty much a lock. I mean, you know, I'm not going anywhere. You know, you don't start because you get, you know, nicked up a little bit. When you come back, you automatically get your job back. I think with the new coaching staff and the way that these guys look at things, hey, you know what? It's the next guy up. If that guy starts, you know, getting out there and balling, guess who's going to be out there?
You do the best with your opportunity,
That's
too. I think it's going to be interesting, too, whenever Shea McClellan's ready to come back, how they split up that time with what Jonathan Anderson has been able to do, too. Then we look at the secondary then as well. Actually, we're taking a look right now at Todd Gurley. And incidentally, you gave the secondary a C, too. But let's jump here as long as we have Todd Gurley on it. It got to be probably expecting. No, here we're seeing the secondary. Bounce around Tracy we Porter. Go. But a change, Alan Porter to Tracy. Alan Ball to Tracy Porter. Kyle Fuller's been running that roller coaster a little bit this season. I think the most pleasant surprise has been at the safety position with the rook they have there, too.
Yeah, and obviously it's a group that lost Antrell Roll for a couple of games. But, you know, it's hard to give high marks to a secondary that's intercepted, what, one pass and forced one other turnover. And that's axiomatic. I mean, you're so used to Charles Tillman, you almost get spoiled and think, well, that's the normal. But only getting two turnovers out of the secondary. Again, they haven't been obliterated. I mean, the Bears have outgained most of their opponents.
I tell you, John, I look back on the opponents and who they played. When you can control things as much as they did against Phillip Rivers, you hit them and say, yeah, great job. Now just keep rolling. With that kind of improvement, keep rolling.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's easy. I think this, in fairness to the secondary, we can, oh, well, they lost Keenan. No Keenan Allen, no Malcolm Floyd. Well, they're playing against a depleted bunch. You're playing against Phillip Rivers. He will find
a way to beat
you. He will turn average receivers into good ones. So, you know, I looked at that. I think he gave them an A for the game. Overall, it's been hard to mark them up. But, you know, that game, they made plays and they took on a very good quarterback.
All right. Now, real quick, before we go, we showed the Gurley tape. And that's really the guy that they're going to have to be most concerned with. Tavon Austin is probably 1A. But beyond that, not a whole lot of weapons. Gurley is a pretty big weapon, and they decided to take the gamble with him at the 10th overall pick, despite the torn ACL, which is exactly a year ago coming up on Sunday. He had that Adrian Peterson-like recovery time, and he's also drawing other Adrian Peterson comparisons.
He is. It was funny, though. I talked to Jeremy Langford today, you know, obviously a fourth-round pick, and I said, will you be kind of watching over there to see what Gurley does? Because, you know, Jeremy lasted until the fourth round, and Gurley went 10th overall. I remember Jay Hilgenberg once said, I knew exactly who I was playing against because he was undrafted. He loved whipping the number one. So, you know, there was a John Matuszak or somebody up in the front. So he said, well, I probably won't be watching him too much because I probably ought to pay attention to their linebackers first. Or I won't be playing. But he says, yeah, I might sneak a look once in a while. But you want to prove you're better than a guy, and this is a heck of a target to set for yourself.
All right, Moon, thanks very much for jumping aboard. Welcome back from San Diego. I know you
it's a tough job. Somebody had to do it.
Somebody spent the time at the dance clubs.
Take the shrimp population down a little bit.
John Moon-Mohan, our CSNChicago.com Bears Insider. We will talk to you on Sunday morning from St. Louis. Still